Matthias Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Matthias Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today we are in the Feast of Tabernacles, and the date is October 5th, 2017. The world is in turmoil. Most of us don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now, you can always find updates with the breaking news, Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all this at our ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. Remember, we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast live on the net internationally, YouTube, and on some FM stations, so please pray about sporting airtime. On another note, let's thank our listener bases in places like Lisbon, Portugal, China, Madrid, Spain, Venezuela, India, Toronto, Canada, and of course cities in the good old USA such as Philadelphia, PA, Boston, Massachusetts, Colorado Springs, Colorado, San Jose, California, Kansas City, Missouri, Las Vegas, Nevada, as well as Wichita, Kansas, which remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go on podcasts later on tonight. Now prayer will bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, Father, I really pray for the quick recovery of those injured in the Vegas shooting. We pray for their families of those hurt or lost in this tragedy to heal quickly. Comfort them, Father. We once again lift this nation up for your mercy. I pray that radio tonight, Father, goes according to your will and not ours. And please give everyone out there ears in which to understand and hear the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name. Amen and amen. Well, today, once again, this nation has seen tragedy. We mourn the loss of the people killed by the Las Vegas shooter, or maybe even shooters as far as we don't know yet. But the left screams for gun control, and we think the other side's looking for answers. All of this going back and forth. I think we should act and try to be one of a accord. Ask the Father to bless this nation. For the most part, blessing won't come unless we have a nation that resubmits itself to Him. My heart breaks as I watch the video of the crowd about an hour before the shooting singing with Big and Rich to God Bless America and holding their phones as lights upright, asking the Father to bless America. Tonight, we do have on with us, once again, Pastor Carl Gallups, who I asked to come on to speak with us about this horrible tragedy. Pastor Carl is a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987, talk radio host. He's heard nationally, international, TV, radio, guest commentator. He's heard all over the world. He's a former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network, and is also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl has written, I think it is 6 books now, The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, and his latest book, Gods and Thrones. And so let's welcome now Pastor Carl. Are you there with me, brother?
I am, Pastor Dan. Love you, brother. It's great to be back with you.
Well, I'm glad to have you back on. And you know, when last month when I called you on, I wanted you to talk about the hurricane and the terrible tragedies with that. And, you know, I never thought that I would be at, when you come back on this week, it would be the timing of needing somebody to talk with us about this horrible tragedy in Las Vegas. Back to you.
Yeah. Well, no, I appreciate it. I'm honored that you and your amazing audience would allow me to be here anytime, and particularly in times like this. Look, these kinds of times cause people to think about God, you know, to think about the Lord, to think about eternity, to think about life and death, to think about, you know, their relationship with their Creator. And for that, I am thankful. Now, hear me. I'm not thankful about the times and the tragedies and the deaths, of course. What I mean in context is I'm thankful that many, many people do think about these things in times like these when they otherwise would not. So some people turn to the Lord. Some people turn back to the Lord during times like this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when we're living in the midst of a horrendous criminal act, this massacre, the largest gun massacre in the history of the United States, when we are living in the midst of it, the 24/7 news cycle, that's all we hear, all we see, we're immersed in it, and especially nowadays in our time with this instantaneous communication information technology that we have, it tends to kind of overshadow the reality of life sometimes. And that is, look, are we living in prophetic times? Absolutely we are. Are we living in the most prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ? Absolutely we are. Is this mass shooting an indication of that? It, by itself, probably not. But because these kinds of things happen around the world and have happened ever since the beginning of time, maybe not with a gun, but we've always had mass killings and executions and genocide and terrorist events and attacks. But what we're looking at is frequency, convergence. The times we're living in, we're living 70 years on the other side of the return of Israel, and the whole litany of things that you and I talk about all the time, the collapse of the Middle East, the collapse of borders, the edge of World War III, you know, nuclear warfare threats, Israel surrounded by enemies. I could go on and on. But so in the midst of it, you know, we have devastating hurricanes, wildfires, sweeping, you know, floods, tornadoes. It just goes on and on. Volcanoes, earthquakes, threats of more volcanic eruptions and threats of more earthquakes, and then the largest mass shooting in the history of the United States. But let me remind your listeners, probably the worst on-territory thing that ever happened to our nation like this was 9/11. I mean, that was 16 years ago. And, you know, we were immersed in that for weeks and months, everybody singing God Bless America and praying, and presidents calling upon us to pray, and congressmen on the steps singing God Bless America. A few months passes, the stock market goes back up, everybody goes back to living, and for 16 years, most people forget about it. I mean, Patriots Day rolls around, hardly anybody takes a day off, hardly anybody speaks of it, it's rarely mentioned from pulpits anymore. All the conspiracy theories are out there, and some of them may have some merit, some of them don't. The ones that are wild and don't have any merit to them often keep people from talking about it, lest people think that we are conspiracy theorists. So that's the world we're living in, brother. So I'm not making prophetic light of this. I'm not saying that this doesn't have any kind of biblically prophetic connection. It does, in that the Bible just speaks of an increase in kinds of activities in the last days, natural and man-made, that lead to terror in men's hearts. So anyway, it's a horrible, horrific thing. It's filled with questions that haven't been answered yet, filled with head scratchers. Maybe you want to talk about some of that tonight. But there we are. Now we've got to look for ways to minister to those that are in need in the midst of it. We've got to minister to a hurting nation. I think President Trump's doing a pretty good job as a president with that. And that's where we are. Yeah, thanks for letting me ramble for a little bit. But I had to get all that off my chest, brother.
Well, that's what I wanted. I wanted to hear what you had to say. But I am curious, you know, I can pull on you in two different hats, so to speak, because, you know, you are a pastor, and, you know, I love a pastor's heart to be on the program with me during something like this. But, you know, you used to be a Florida law enforcement officer, and, you know, I just have to ask, you know, do you have any general thoughts about it all? It just seems crazy that one man that's 64 years old and overweight could do all this, you know, and I'm not on either side of that yet.
Yeah, well, let me just say, all of my information probably comes from the same sources yours do in this case. In this case, I don't have any inside contact information like I have in the Obama fraud case, working directly with Sheriff Arpaio and Mike Zullo and others, et cetera, and even some other things that I've been involved in. But this one, I don't have any inside scoop or information or insight. So looking at all the stuff that's out there that I've been able to get my hands on and read, or videos that I've watched, audio clips, video clips, listening to, watching mainstream reports of various things that were done and said during that time or right before the time of the shooting, I can just say this. As a former law enforcement officer, I am aware, I mean, I am certain that the law enforcement that's investigating this knows a whole lot more than we know, number one. And they know a whole lot more than they're saying publicly, number two. Now, that has to be that way, because when you're investigating a crime of this magnitude and you develop evidence or leads, you know, those things have to be massaged very quickly. If there are other people involved in this, and to me, it seems like there are. There almost has to be. And there's evidence out there that there were multiple people involved in this. We know of at least the lady that ran through the crowd 45 minutes before. I say we know. I mean, I wasn't there. I know what the media says. Yeah, and multiple witnesses. We know from video clips that I've seen and heard that it sure looks like there were multiple shooters from different levels of that hotel. One from looks like from the fourth floor, the other from the 32nd floor, where there's actually a video showing muzzle flash from the fourth floor out of a window. Another piece of video that where you can hear close-up gunfire and then far-away gunfire, as if it was coming from two different locations, completely different sounding rhythm, but yet automatic gunfire. So anyway, I could go on and on with this. Of course, he had a girlfriend, you know, and then, like you said, how do you get dozens of guns and pounds and pounds and pounds of ammunition up there, and hammers to break out the windows, and all of these things by yourself? Well, you could, but it would be difficult. So the bottom line I'm saying is, what if there are multiple people involved? What if it proves to be an act of terrorism? What if there's some other nefarious conglomeration to this crime? Usually a crime of this magnitude is not pulled off completely by a singular person who doesn't participate with anybody else and or who doesn't share something with someone else. So anyway, my point being, after having said all of that, is that if I'm involved in the midst of an investigation like this, and I know things, like I know that there were multiple shooters, I know that there are multiple people involved in this, I know that this thing was planned, I know that there are maybe, you know, terrorist connections, etc. Well, I'm not going to broadcast that to the world. Because you're still trying to trap people, you're still trying to catch people, you're still hoping that leads will lead you to the other people involved, or you can smoke them out with other information. So anyway, I, since I don't have any inside scoop, all I can do is speculate with the rest of everybody else, and I'm just saying, I'm watching closely, I'm looking at everything as it comes across the wires, as you are. And I'm smelling a rat to the initial story. And almost always the initial stories are not correct. Almost always.
Right.
Yeah. Or at least not complete.
Let me intercede here for a moment. You know, what you just expressed, I had this same talk almost exactly with a brother that I run into at the gym once a week. And he was immediately, you know, citing, oh, well, there's another shooter and all these different things. And what I told him, and he was in condemnation of the police not releasing more, sheriff's department, if you will, whichever it was. And I told him the same things. I said, calm down. Give it a little while, because the first thing that they're going to do, even if they know there's somebody else, they're not going to release that information because they want to entrap the person. You know, the same argument that you just told us just now, I used on him. And that's my thoughts exactly. So I want to say this to the people out there. So just give me a second, Carl.
Yes, sir.
Folks, really, there may be multiple shooters. I'm not saying there is it or isn't. But what I want you to do, though, is I want you to give the police department there or sheriff's department, whichever the case is, that you just give them some time, you know, and give time for things to pan out. Don't immediately jump on every theory that you hear because, you know, for one thing, folks, they're with something like that going on with that many people, they could – it's just a lot of things to wade through. So give it some time. Concentrate more on mourning and praying for this nation and praying for the loved ones and even your president for having to handle all this. And, you know, Carl, we're talking and they're talking about even another hurricane coming in towards America. What do you think about that? I mean, look, it's been one thing after another since this last eclipse thing happened. Back to you.
Yeah, I know. People, you know, it's funny. I saw an article. I don't have it in front of me, so I can be corrected on exactly, but it was a totally secular article. I'm thinking I might have it right here in front of me. I was looking at the internet here through some of my notes. Well, I don't want to hold your show up, but it was Newsweek or Time or something where the title of the article shocked me because it questioned earthquakes, hurricanes, the mass shooting is right after Las Vegas. Are we near the time of the end? And I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe. So I read it, and it was an opinion piece. But by a writer for one of these, Newsweek, Times, USA Today, something like that. And they were just, you know, asking the same questions that a lot of Christians are. Maybe the guy was a Christian, I don't know. A lot of prophecy buffs are asking. But anyway, here's the balance I give to it, brother. Look, again, I want your listeners to listen carefully and keep in contact what I'm getting ready to say, because you know, brother, I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, we are living in the most prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ. I've outlined that. I've proven that in my book, When the Lion Roars, my newest book, Gods and Thrones. Oh, my gosh, it goes way deeper. But so I'm a big believer in that. But I also balance it with, look, I know how life is. You know, I live on the Gulf Coast. I live in Hurricane Alley. We go through cycles of these things. And 15 years ago, 13 years ago, we went through Hurricane Ivan, Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Dennis, some of the most devastating we've had, all just back to back to back in a 1.5-2 year period, just devastating the Gulf Coast, which threw us into a loop for years. Some of us are still dealing and recovering from that. And so then we went, you know, more than a decade with nothing that hit the Gulf Coast. Nothing. You know, just pure peace on the Gulf Coast. And now we're kind of back in that cycle again. So we know ever since we've been recording these things that we go through these cycles. You know, massive fires across the West. I mean, those go through cycles. A lot of that's caused by lightning. Some of it's caused by arsonists. You know, hurricanes, volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, tornadoes, all of these things. But the deal is, I tell people, you know, can God get attention with all this? Yes. Does the Bible seem to indicate that as we get closer to the return of Christ, there will be more and more natural disturbances? Yes. So people ask me, well, are these hurricanes God's judgment? Well, I don't know that you can pick out a singular hurricane and say this is God's judgment because, however, here's what I tell people. All of this is God's judgment, Pastor Dan. All of it. We live in a fallen creation, And God has pronounced his judgment of death and destruction because of the sin nature of the entire creation, if you will, but humanity particularly, but the whole creation has fallen. Paul says the whole creation groans, waiting for its redemption, waiting for the restitution of all things. So you know, all of this is God's judgment. All of it is designed to shake the world, if you will. All of it can be used and has been used down through the ages to turn people's hearts to the Creator and to make them think of our own mortality. We're just here for a little while. People just assume we're going to live to be 80 or 90 years old. Well, so what if we do? What's that? That's 8 decades? You can count on your fingers that many decades and on your hands and have some fingers left over. So every breath we take, every beat of our heart belongs to the Lord. We're only here for a little while. We're here to be ambassadors for the soon coming kingdom of Jesus Christ. But yes, I mean, you know, these things make people look up. These things make people examine their own mortality. These things make people ask questions. And so I think we as believers who know the truth, we need to seize upon the moment, not outside the boundaries of contextual reality, but we need to seize upon the moment when people begin to ask questions.
I got to break in. We're getting ready to go to a break. Carl, give them your website real quick, and we'll come back and see about your, maybe talk about your new book.
Okay, whatever you want to do, Pastor Dan. CarlGallups.com. My name, CarlGallups. CarlGallups.com. Thank you, brother.
Well, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes with more Carl. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, today we are in the Feast of Tabernacles, which is also called the Season of Our Joy. I know it's hard to be joyous when all these things are going on, but it is the season of our joy. It's the word feast really means dress rehearsal, which means this is an appointed time that we're supposed to meet with the Father and His Son so that we're in a rehearsal of something that is yet to come, which will be the 1,000 years of Yeshua on the earth. So, folks, during these next 7 days and in the last day, which is the last great day, please try to forget about the things that are going on. Pray for repentance. Try to get some rest. But pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. We do really need your help. We minister to people in a part of town that most people don't even like to drive through after dark. In fact, the city of Wichita doubled our police patrols in the neighborhood just because things were getting worse and worse. But do we run because of that? Do we leave because the neighborhood's getting more dangerous? Well, no, we don't. We stay there and we help. And that's just what we've been doing for 18 years. So pray about helping for us. We should always hope. But we are, folks, responsible to care for one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. And the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart, of course. If you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free, and donations keep us on the air, because this ministry sells nothing. You can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. And now we're back with Pastor Carl Gallups, and let's see what else we can pick his brain about. Are you there with us, Carl?
I am here, Pastor Dan. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I was scrolling through your thing, and I see that I had Joel on to talk about it because people were driving him crazy over that prophecy about the sign in the heavens.
Oh, yeah.
Why, how can we tell? I mean, you know, the people need a way to know, because you see these coming one after another and after another. In fact, I think this guy put it off till sometime in October, the original guy. How can we be leery of those? And what can we look to, in your opinion, to real prophecy happening? I know that's a loaded question.
No, it is. And listen, if you would allow me to take 1 minute to finish what I was saying when we went to break to put it in context, because it goes right with this. Is that okay?
Just fine.
Okay. All right, good deal. I'm sorry. But anyway, no, Pastor Dan, that's a great question. I'm thrilled that you asked it and looking forward to answering it. And what I wanted to say right when we went to break was that, so we look at the shooting, you know, and the hurricanes and all the stuff, and people say, well, is this the judgment of God? And my point being, look, this is the stuff of life. This is just the stuff of life. However, this does not discount the fact, Pastor Dan, that the Word of God speaks of the last days being filled with terror, being filled with demonic outpouring, being filled with murder, crime, corruption, and the natural rumblings of the earth itself, the groaning of the earth itself. Jesus said in the last days, men's hearts would fail them because they begin to see what is coming upon the face of the earth. And so that's the context to all of this, and that I wanted to make clear. That Jesus said the last days would be marked by false prophets and false prophecies. Some, you know, out here in the desert, there he is, here he comes, here's the day, here's the date, there's the place. I mean, I'm paraphrasing now, but Jesus said the last days would be marked by that. So, look, we are now living on the other side of the returned Israel, 70 years this year. And so now, you know, with everything else going on in the world, if you look at the Middle East alone, the extermination of Christianity, Russia in the Middle East, China in the Middle East, Syria collapsed, the Middle East on fire, death and destruction, borders collapsing in Europe. Borders have already collapsed in the United States. We're quickly trying to repair the breach, but it may be too late, according to some terrorist experts. You know, and on and on and on we can go with this. And then, you know, the Las Vegas shooting, the worst mass shooting in history. Well, we live in a constitutional republic, one of the freest nations on the face of the earth. We live in a constitutional republic where we can have access, legal access, to legal use of guns, which means that the criminals are also going to have them. And so these things are going to happen. However, the Bible speaks that in the last days, this spirit of death and destruction and terror will increase. And so now we live in the days of Internet. And so everybody sees it at once. The whole world sees it at once. I mean, Las Vegas, as soon as it was happening, people saw it. Videos were put up. It was almost like we were there within seconds. And now we've got everybody sitting in their mother's basement behind computer screens trying to be cops because they've got access to a video or somebody's website. I mean, that's the world we live in, brother. So is all this stuff prophetic? Absolutely. Can we point to a single event and say that's God's judgment? Well, we need to be a little careful about that. Now, that ties into what you asked about the September 23rd prophecy. Let me give a quick history and then my quick analysis. The quick history, this goes way back. I'm sure you're aware of this. Some of your listeners might not be, Pastor Dan. But this date setting around September 23rd, 2017, started at least 8 years ago. I know that people were talking about it back then, when we started developing this software, of this astronomy software, high-powered software that people could go back and look through the heavens at the alignment of the constellations, the stars, the planets, as far back as you want to go, and as far forward as you want to go. Amazing stuff. And so somebody, way back, years ago, kind of looked at that Revelation 12, passage verse 1, where it said, another great sign appeared in heaven, and I saw a woman with the sun over her head, moon under stars, 12 crowns with 12 stars. And they said, that sounds like a constellational planet-star alignment. Let's see if there's anything like that in the heavens. A woman, okay, Virgo, okay, sun and the moon, 12 stars, let's look. Anyway, So, oh, it said giving birth to a son, and, you know, that'll rule the nations. And, of course, Jupiter, for the most ancient of days, has been known as the king planet. And so, you know, by astronomers and or astrologers. And so people were looking at all of those things. Years ago, they were searching the heavens through these star charts, and lo and behold, they said, oh, my gosh, there's going to be an alignment that looks almost identical to what Revelation 12 says on September 23rd, 2017. And then they said, oh, my gosh, that lines up with the Feast of Trumpets. Oh, my gosh, that's got to be a secret formula for the date of the rapture. And so way back then, people were saying they were gathering up their flocks. You know, we had Internet then. Internet was starting to go strong back then. And,
right.
And so people were, isn't it funny, I say back then, it was only 9 years ago, but all of this stuff is new. I mean, Internet in everybody's home, astronomy software like this, I mean, all this stuff is relatively new. But anyway, so people started building YouTube channels, which was brand new back then. They're putting up videos, making videos, you know, in their bedroom late at night with cheesy software back then. I've got some of that on my website from way back then. And then they started getting followers, and the next thing you know, they were offered, you know, you could monetize your sites. People started making money if they had more followers, so they started pumping out more videos, and, brother, it's the technology started driving a lot of these wild speculations. Well, here we approach 2017. I'm getting ready to preach some conferences, and I'm out here preaching and teaching. I'm releasing some books, and all of this is just hitting the fan, so to speak, and people are bombarding me and Joel and others. You know, what is this? What is this? Is this the end? Is this the rapture? So I started producing some material, some videos. Joel started producing some stuff, Joel Richardson, who's a dear friend of mine. And
right.
And we just started speaking to the truth of the matter. Truth number one, do not set a day or an hour for the rapture. Do not do that. Jesus said, do not do that. That's pretty much a sure sign that you're dealing with a false prophecy and a false prophet if somebody does that. So that's rule number one. Rule
right.
number two, do not read into a passage of Scripture something that absolutely is not there. Now, in order to do that, it usually requires that you have some contextual knowledge, some exegetical knowledge of the Word of God as a whole, and some knowledge of biblical languages, or at least the ability to use software that will help illuminate those biblical languages. So when we get to Revelation 12, and the first couple of verses speaks of the woman and the stars of her head and the sun and the moon, brother, if that passage, first of all, is not a passage for a secret formula for the rapture by using astrology. And astrology is different from astronomy. Yes, God's Word says there will be signs in the heavens and the heavenlies. That's no doubt about that. But every time you read a passage that speaks specifically of the heavenlies as being a sign, it winds up being, number one, either a sign of God's glory. That goes all the way back to Genesis, and the Psalms are filled with that statement. Or, just generally speaking, a sign of God's glory. Or, signs in the heavenlies that accompany the great day of the Lord, or the returning of the Lord. In other words, on the day that the Lord returns, or somewhere within minutes before, things begin to happen in the heavenlies that are just the whole world sees. And you know, people run to the mountains and you know, say, rocks fall upon us because now it's the great day of the Lord. The sun's turning to blood red. The moon's turning to sackcloth. You know, and the stars are falling from the heavens. It's the great day of the Lord. Okay, but there are no signs anywhere in the Bible that says, now when this alignment of constellations and stars and planets takes place, you can set a date. And if you will look very closely, there's a little secret formula here. There's nothing like that in the Scriptures, Pastor Dan, nothing. So
no.
Here's what I told people about Revelation 12.
Okay.
If you look at Revelation 11, verse 19, the last verse of Revelation, John has been caught up to the throne room of God, and in verse 19 he says, and another sign appeared in heaven. Now that comes from the Greek word oranos, or Anu. It means heaven, and it can be used in the singular or the plural. When it says, when it's in the singular, it's almost always used for the domain of God, the heaven of God. But if it's in the plural, it can mean the skies or the place where the planets and stars are. For example, I will say to you, wow, God is on his throne in heaven. I can also say, look at the heavens, they're filled with birds today. Or I can go out tonight and I can say, aren't the heavens gorgeous? Look at that moon. Look at the stars. The heavens are filled with stars tonight. Okay, I've used the same word three different ways. Greek does the same thing. Revelation 11:19 says, and in heaven I saw the temple of God opened. And the next verse says, and I was shown a sign in heaven. And then it gives the sign. So in other words, he's not saying I saw a sign in the heavenlies, or I saw a sign in an alignment of constellations. That's not what the Word of God says. It says, I saw a sign while I was in heaven. As God's temple was opened in heaven, God gave me a revelation. He gave me a symbol. He showed me something important. All right, what was it? Well, he said, I saw a woman with the head, with sun adorning the head, moon under the feet, 12 stars over it. Well, what is that about? Well, it goes right back to Genesis 37, verses 8 and 9. And the early church would have known this. What is Genesis 37? It's Joseph's dream. What does Joseph tell his brothers? It doesn't mention a woman, but we find out later the woman is Israel. But it says, I saw the sun and the moon and the 12 stars over that, or 11 stars. And he says, and I am ruling over all of you and over all of it. And so Joseph was the 12th star. And then, of course, we find out later that Israel is called the woman who will give birth to the son. I mean, Isaiah 9, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Everlasting Father. He'll rule the nations. Well, that's what Revelation 12 says. There's a woman, Israel, sun over her head, moon under her feet, 12 stars over her head, the 12 tribes, and she gives birth to a son. Isaiah 9 tells us who the son is. It's Jesus. Revelation 12 goes on to say, and Satan is right there to destroy the child. And then it goes on to say that Satan sweeps a third of the stars out of heaven with him. Well, does he mean literal stars, or are we talking about angelic realm? Well, we're talking angelic realm. So what are the 12 stars in chapter 12, verse 1? We're not talking literal stars. We're talking the 12 tribes of Israel. Does all this make sense, Brother Dan?
Well, absolutely. Of course, I know Bible prophecy, but you're putting it in a very good, you know, way. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah, and I'll wrap this up because I could talk about this for an hour, and I promise you I won't, brother. But I just want your listeners to know. Look, so I'm trying to show you the complexity yet the simplicity of this. The complexity is, in order to understand like something like Revelation 12, you got to read Revelation 11. And then you got to go back to Genesis 37. And then you have to know something about the Greek word for heaven and the three different heavens. Paul said, I was caught up to the third heaven. What's he talking about? Well, to the presence of God. So once you know all of this, and if you'll read the rest of Revelation 12, where you see that stars are clearly used symbolically and they're not literal stars with a literal constellation alignment, then it becomes clear that Revelation 12 is a panoramic view. It's a lead-up to Revelation 13. Revelation 12 goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. It explains everything, why Satan hates Israel, why Satan hates Jesus, why Satan hates Christians, why he hates the church. Now Revelation 12 says he's been thrown to the earth, he's filled with rage, he knows his time is short, and what does he do? Revelation 12 ends by saying he goes off to make war against the woman, well that's Israel, and against her offspring who believe in Jesus Christ, well that's the church. So then it opens Revelation 13, which is the culmination of all of that in the Antichrist of the last days. And that's what it's about, Brother Dan, as you know. That's what it's always been about, as you know. It was never about a secret formula for a secret rapture using astrology. That's the end of my speech.
Oh, I love your little speeches, Carl.
Let's
go with this real quick. You said something that is really important to me. Too often I see these people, you know, they send me things, and they will, and now you pointed to go, well, to understand it clearly, you really need to read Revelation 11 and at least to 13. But so many people, Carl, and, you know, they justify it all the time, but they'll reach in and even take part of a sentence and base a whole prophecy or, you know, so on and so forth off of even just part of a sentence. So, you know, I like what you emphasize, that we need to read all of it. Do you run across that a lot?
I do. I do, brother. In fact, listen, one illustration I like to use is this. Jesus said, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood if you're going to follow me. Well, oh my gosh, was Jesus saying we have to eat him, cannibalize him, or become cannibals? I mean, that's what Jesus said, isn't it? That's what the Bible says, doesn't it? Well, the Bible does say that. Jesus did say that. But here's what I tell people. The Bible doesn't always mean what it says, but it always means what it means. And to know what the Bible means, you have to know what verses come before it, what verses come after it, what's the context of the whole thing. What was it that Jesus was illustrating there? What does the rest of the Bible say about it? And when you do that, voila, he's not talking about cannibalism. It becomes very clear. He's not only saying that we got to be all in, we got to partake of him as he partakes of us, and that we are in him, we are hidden in Christ, but it also had an allusion to the Lord's Supper. We know that. He said, here's my body, here's my blood. Well, was that really his body and his blood? No. But he was saying, these are symbols, but they're holy symbols. I'm giving my body, I'm giving my flesh, I'm fulfilling the prophecies. I'm Messiah. I'm going to go to a cross. I'm going to shed my blood. I'm going to rise from the grave. So you got to know all of that for that one little verse or that part of a verse to mean something. But watch this, brother. But the early Roman government, the officials that took out, and the Jews and the early haters of Christians that took out to attack the Christian church, to destroy it, to persecute it, to deliver them to the lions, they used that verse of Scripture, brother. And they said, look, these Christians are a bunch of cannibals because their Scripture says that they have to eat flesh and drink blood if they're going to follow this God. They used it that way. So see, the enemy,
I didn't know that.
Yes, sir. So the enemies of God's people will misquote, misuse Scripture. They will put it in the mouths of Christians, and they will use it to make Christians look foolish and stupid and crazy and wicked so that they can be persecuted. So we have to be very careful, brother. We have to, not that I have all knowledge or that you have all knowledge, but the Holy Spirit does have all knowledge. And if we'll listen to each other as God speaks to us, and if we will read and know the Scriptures in context, if we'll take time to do a little study, a little digging, speak to some language experts, or at least look it up on, you know, the Internet now, everybody has a whole theological library at their fingertips.
Right.
Used to, only rich preachers could have that. But now, now everybody has them, you know, Bible Hub and all of these different things on the Internet. So, anyway, that's what we need to do, brother.
Okay, well, now we've got about 3.5 minutes left, and I was hoping that you would give them something about your book. Is it doing good, or give them a piece or something? But you only got about 4 minutes.
I know. Well, listen, I'm going to do something really cheap here and ask you to have me back on so we can talk about the book. Because, brother, and you don't have to answer that because you might be saying, I don't want you back on, but I'm not going to tell you that over the air. Hey, but listen, brother. This book.
That. I'll book you in about. I'll look at my calendar. I'll get you on real quick. I won't wait till next month.
Thank you. You're so kind. I'm glad I
Well,
asked
I want to hear
everybody.
About it too.
Yeah. See, I manipulated you. I asked you in front of everybody.
Yeah, that is a manipulative card.
I know.
Yeah.
Hey, listen.
I did that myself before, though.
I know. Let me just say this to your audience. This book is literally changing people's lives. All glory to Jesus. All glory to Jesus. It changed my life writing it. When I come on with you in a few weeks, we can get into the guts of it, and I'll explain exactly what it's about. But the thing is, it doesn't officially release until October 15th. But Amazon's
Oh, really?
already... Sir?
Oh, I just said, oh, really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, but Amazon is already shipping it. And 1 month ago, September 15th, because it had been put on Amazon and people knew about it, and some people had, were already pre-reading copies of it, it went to number 400 out of all 17 million books on Amazon. It was ranked number one in six different Amazon categories. That was a month ago. Today, it's still like number 1,000 out of all the books on Amazon, which puts it in the top one half of 1% of 17 million books, and it's still ranked number one in multiple categories. I mean, God is using this, and it hasn't even officially released yet. People that are reading it, I'm getting emails. One guy, let me just read. One guy left a review under it that said, oh, my gosh, where is it? Here it is. It says, I've read every one of Mr. Gow's books and been moved by each. Gods and Thrones is the first book to change my life at every level. How we got here, why things are the way they are, and what happens when we die. The answers are shocking. And Mr. Gallus takes us on a roller coaster ride of discovery, changing your life just like he did mine. I highly recommend this book. It'll be hard to top. I appreciate that review, but I'm getting calls and emails very similar to that. I think God is really going to use this, and praise to Yeshua for that. So I look forward to talking about it on your show coming up soon.
Well, we can do it. I'm sure either within the next couple of weeks we can do it. I just don't have my calendar in front of me. And besides, I use that person, you know, I email whoever that is that I email is really swift and gets a hold of you quickly or something. So that's usually the way I do it, is get a hold of them.
Well, listen, it's called Gods and Thrones, And the subtitle is Nakash, Forgotten Prophecy, and the Return of the Elohim. They can go on Amazon, order it now. If they have Prime, they'll get it the next day. If they don't have Prime, they'll get it in 2 or 3 days, and you can have it, and you can start reading it right now, Gods and Thrones. They can go to my website, carlgalf.com, and click there and see it, too.
Well, amen. Well, that's Carl, and that's how to get a hold of him, folks, is carlgallops.com, and he has a lot of things over there, and I even noticed that you had a link up to the Obama Fraud Criminal Investigation Archives.
Yep, that's
useful to see all that in one place.
Thanks. Thanks. Yes, just on one page. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah, amen. Well, okay, Carl. Well, I'll get a hold of him. I'll send him an email after I get off radio, and we'll set up a date. And I can't wait to hear all about the book, and I'm sure my listeners will love to hear it, too. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and let you go, Carl. I only got about a couple minutes myself, so you be blessed. Thanks for coming on.
Okay, thanks, Pastor Dan. Take care, brother.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, be blessed. Bye-bye. Folks, we're seeing a lot. Let's go back to the shooting for a minute. Folks, we've seen a lot of things. The one that I don't trust is the FBI in this. I don't see how in less than 12 hours the FBI could have ruled out every form of terrorism and so on and so forth. But we are seeing, like today I saw the sheriff. He looked like he was, I'm sure that was the sheriff's department. It may be the police department, whichever the case there. But came out and even said that for him to do this on his own, he would have had to turn into some kind of a superhuman, you know, he was comparing it to, you know, a superhuman character, like a superhero or something. Of course, the man is, don't say, go out there saying Pastor Dan, saying he's a superhero. He may be a super thug or whatever you want to call him, but not hero. Let's get hero off the table. But there was real heroes. There was heroes in the police department that went after, or the officers that went into that building, and let alone, we got to uphold this man that knocked on the door, tried to get into his door without even having a gun, and got shot and directed into where he was at. Was that the only shooter? We don't know yet. Do we know all the details? We don't know yet. But we do need to pray one for another and try not to tear this nation apart. We need to be unifying. And again, I stand up and say the church needs to start speaking out. Pray for the Mission Church. We really do need your help, especially during this feast. We must remember, though, there is only one God. Who is he? He's your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who is his son? His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins. He rose after 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And through him, and the only way through him is the only way to the Father. Absolute. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Messiah's return. Joel will be on with us in an hour. So, Lord our God, Father, King Universe, asking Yeshua HaMashiach's name, that the Father, that you would bless and keep them, and that your face would shine upon them, and that you would be gracious to them, and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.